Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio, where we bring you information about Minnesota's National Guard, the military community, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon Program, and Department of Veterans Affairs. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phalon Partners Limited, a Twin Cities merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is also a Vietnam veteran of the United States Air Force and a member of the VFW and American Legion. Now, here's Tom Lyons.
Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. On today's show, we'll learn about the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System's Brain Sciences Center, and we'll meet two new Beyond the Yellow Ribbon companies here in Minnesota. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General Rick Nash.
March is Women's History Month. The national theme for 2014's annual recognition is Celebrating Women of Character, Courage, and Commitment. This month, the Library of Congress is doing an impressive job of telling a cross-section of women's stories, of which include military women. According to the Library of Congress, American women have been involved in the last four major wars. During Korea and Vietnam, women saw few advances in their roles in military service. Then, in the 15 years between the end of the Vietnam War and the start of Operation Desert Shield, the armed forces opened up many specialties to women. And recently, in the Persian Gulf War, as well as conflicts in Afghanistan and Iraq, women's participation expanded immensely. Here in the Minnesota National Guard, the role of women has changed over the years as well. Today, the Command Sergeant Major of the more than 13,000 citizen soldiers and airmen in our ranks is Cynthia Kahlberg. She is the first female senior enlisted advisor selected in our state. When she joined in 1984, there was a lack of female mentors, but we are changing that. While nationally, females make up 14% of the military, here in the Minnesota National Guard, they make up 17%, and our recruiting command is working on enlisting more women each year. This month, the nation is celebrating Women of Character, Courage, and Commitment.
Thank you, General Nash. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Joining me now from the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System to talk about the Brain Sciences Center out at the Minneapolis VA Hospital are Dr. Georgopoulos and Dr. Brian Engdahl. Gentlemen, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you, Tom.
Thank you.
Dr. Georgopoulos, I understand that the Brain Sciences Center out at the Minneapolis VA is one of the most advanced in the nation, and you've been involved in this program for quite some time. Can you tell us when it started and what it involves?
Certainly. The Brain Science Center was established in 1991 when I moved here from Johns Hopkins Medical School, and it was established to house the American Legion Family Brain Sciences Chair, which was created by the veterans of Minnesota, raising $1 million in the late 1980s to create a chair dedicated to the study of the brain for the benefit of the veterans and the greater humanity. The center is housed at the Minneapolis VA Medical Center and has a major facility that is magnetoencephalography, a way that you can study the function of the human brain at the highest fidelity signal every millisecond, every thousandth of a second, and we have been very successful in studying the brain in health and disease, as you will hear later.
And Dr. Georgopoulos, have you been involved in the program since it started here?
Yes, since 1991.
And you've come a long way with it since then, haven't you?
We have come a very long way, and I must say, you know, have been very successful in delivering what we're expected to deliver, that is, highest quality research, understanding how the brain works in health and disease.
And Dr. Engdahl, you're part of this program. How long have you been working on the VA's Brain Sciences Center?
I joined the faculty about 6 years ago and come from a background of nearly 35 years of taking care of veterans at the VA Medical Center. So we bring the clinical perspective to the scientific work that is going on at the Brain Sciences Center.
And Dr. Engdahl, I understand that this program has produced a number of important findings in the past few years with regard to PTSD, flashbacks, and resiliency. Can you tell us a little bit about that and why that's important for our veterans?
Well, let me first start by saying that those who have served have continued to serve by stepping forward in great numbers to go through our studies. We have had nearly 2,000 veterans participate in the latest series of studies. The first group that deserves a lot of recognition are those who have no particular problems but do want to contribute to science. So we have a very large group of high-functioning veterans who have been through our studies. Then, group by group, we have recruited and successfully studied veterans with post-traumatic stress disorder, veterans who were exposed to a lot of trauma but did not develop post-traumatic stress disorder. In other words, those who have shown some resilience, a lot of it actually, and also veterans with Gulf War illnesses.
Dr. Engdahl, it's my understanding that veterans have been very supportive of the VA, and now there's a program called the Million Veterans Program where you're studying all of our veterans and trying to understand how their service might have affected their health, and the results of that program are going to help the general population. But it sounds like in your program here, you've got people that are perhaps normal. I don't know if that's the right word. And then you've got people that are suffering from some problems. So the veterans, once again, are helping you to study these problems and come up with some potential understanding of them, aren't they?
Most definitely. As a first step, and a very big step, the scanning approach has shown us and the world that different disease states have different brain patterns of intercommunication among the neuronal populations on the surface of the brain. We call these neural markers or signatures of the disorder. So there is a PTSD signature. There are signatures for depression, schizophrenia, autoimmune disorders that affect brain function, and some of the Gulf War illnesses.
So are you actually able to find parts of the brain that send different signals and indicate that a person either has a problem with PTSD or maybe is more resilient and doesn't have problems with it?
There are patterns of miscommunication among neuronal populations, nerve cells on the surface of the brain, that are specific to certain disorders. So we will see a very strong pattern of miscommunication in the upper right portion of a person's brain, sort of above the ear, that is not there among those who do not have post-traumatic stress disorder. For those who have had post-traumatic stress disorder but have recovered a good deal, there's still a faint sign of that miscommunication pattern, but it reflects the fact that they're doing better.
Dr. Georgopoulos, you started all of this from a research perspective. Are you able to discuss how this might affect our soldiers that are just deploying now or might deploy in the future? Are you able to have any prediction over who might have trouble or who might not?
Yes, that definitely the tools are here, and our initial results in the people that both suffer from PTSD and those that are more resilient do have specific brain signatures. So yes, in theory, that is very possible. That is, with this very innocuous and actually totally safe, very brief, brain scan, one can build up a database where you can predict the people who will be expected to be less resilient, put it that way, or be at higher risk, more vulnerable in developing PTSD if they're exposed to trauma. So this we have not started yet, but the tools are here and the methods and the perspective is here that given funds, definitely we can do that.
In the several decades that you've been working on this, your expectations and the things that you've been studying must have evolved over those years. Have you learned some things in the first 10 or 15 years that changed what you're looking for now?
Well, it is a successive approximation, if you want. You keep building up knowledge based on technology. And for us, the biggest break was the acquisition of the magnetoencephalography. Before that, we were using mainly functional magnetic resonance imaging, which is very useful, but it's a proxy. It is not exactly a signal that relates to brain function, but more to metabolic changes and the hemoglobin oxygenation level. So when the The MEG system came along in 2001. It was a huge addition, a huge break in really recording and analyzing and interpreting ongoing brain function at the millisecond level very, very successfully. And that was really a big breaking point in the middle, actually, after literally after a decade that I had come to Minneapolis. So that really was a big addition. I might say the instrument was purchased through a congressional appropriation that was spearheaded by Senator Pete Domenici. So we call our center the Domenici Research Center for Mental Illness.
Gentlemen, we have to take a short break. When we come back, I'd like to talk a little bit more about the fascinating equipment that I saw on my tour when I was out to the VA healthcare system. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons, and we've been talking about the Minneapolis VA Healthcare Center's Brain Sciences Center with Dr. Georgopoulos and Dr. Engdahl. Dr. Engdahl, I understand that you've also in your career studied World War II veterans.
Yes. In the early 1980s, there was a special outreach to former POWs, most of them having served in World War II, who came to our VA and were able to, we were able to look at them using this new diagnosis of post-traumatic stress disorder, which came on the books in 1980. For many of them, those problems had been with them since World War II, much to our amazement. So we learned there. Many of them were very appreciative of this new recognition and an understanding of their problems, and thanked the Vietnam vets for the activism that they showed in putting this diagnosis back on the official manual of the American Psychiatric Association.
And you're speaking of PTSD.
PTSD.
So our World War II veterans that we thought had battle fatigue, some of them actually had PTSD before we had the term.
Most definitely. Those held by Japan had lifetime rates of PTSD of 75%, 80%. So a very severely maltreated group got some recognition and some help.
So, Doctor, are you finding more commonalities than differences when you study World War II, Korea, Vietnam, and today's veterans?
Well, the question arose right then. Does PTSD show up in the same ways among 70-year-olds from World War II versus Vietnam veterans? It came up again in Desert Storm 1. It came up again in OIF, OEF, OMD. And the answer is yes. There is a common ground that is experienced by those who have been through a lot of trauma.
Dr. Georgopoulos, about a month or 6 weeks ago, I was out to the Minneapolis VA Healthcare Center and got a tour and met you, and you showed me a machine that I think we call MEG. What's the official term, and can you tell us about that machine? What does it actually do?
Yeah, well, actually, your visit was a highlight of that day. It was just wonderful to have met you then and show you our machine pride. So that is called magnetoencephalography. And what it does, it records the magnetic fields generated in the brain by the electrical activity of brain cells. As you know, the brain works with electricity, that is, one cell communicates with another cell by electrical signals. And when these signals go from one cell to the other, generate an electrical current, at the same time, a magnetic field. And this is what the instrument records, is the magnetic field in the highest temporal resolution and completely undistorted. So the instrument we have has 248 MEG sensors. The subject lies in the bed, and the helmet, it's a helmet, it's like an old hair dryer. Big machine comes just above the head, does not touch anything, so it's extremely passive, totally passive, you know, instrument. If you were to open that, you would see 248 sensors recording the magnetic signals on a continuous basis. And on top of that, what makes it big is liquid helium. So the whole system is bathing in liquid helium because the sensors work at 4 degrees Kelvin, that is 4 degrees above the absolute zero. And that is what you saw inside the shielded room that we use to cut the environmental noise. What these sensors record is one billionth of the magnetic field of the Earth. So it's extremely sensitive, 10 to the minus 15 Tesla, extremely small magnetic fluxes.
And the VA is safe and our listeners are safe because we didn't put my head in there and we didn't break your machine.
Exactly. You did not. You did not. It was a pleasure to have you.
This technology came to us courtesy of the Department of Defense in their efforts to detect or use it in anti-submarine warfare, correct?
Well, yeah, the technology was very early in the 70s. There was a lot of development in detecting motion of very large metal bodies like submarines and airplanes and so on. And it was very much developed along those lines.
So, Dr. Engdahl, how many patients have been studied using this equipment?
Well, not all of them are patients. We do have the good luck of having veterans come in and join in the study who are not served by the VA Medical Center, but 2,000 plus minus veterans have come on board and completed our studies. We're still studying more.
We're speaking with Dr. Georgopoulos and Dr. Engdahl from the VA's Brain Sciences Center on Minnesota Military Radio. Dr. Engdahl, as a result of this study, has that come up with some findings that have helped you to alter treatment for those that are having flashbacks or PTSD?
Overall, we feel that this approach gives us a very sensitive and objective measure of treatment response. And as we look at groups of veterans who are in different stages of recovery, we're able to see the differences. It tells us very clearly that adapting to going through traumatic experiences is an active process that involves rewiring of your brain, literally, in response to and in direct proportion to the amount of trauma you have experienced. So we have the neural signature, if you will, of resilience. For treatment response indications, we are just starting studies where we ask people to undergo our scans, go through treatment, and then be scanned again. Those results are not final or ready to talk about yet, but the early reports are that it clearly shows treatment response, good, bad, or otherwise.
And Doctor, I know you work closely with the Minnesota National Guard and with the VA Medical Center out there. Do you come up with any findings or any recommendations for the Adjutant General or any of our troops that are going to be going to be deployed?
Well, part of what I just mentioned is certainly in line with some of the resilience training that is offered and some of the information that is provided again and again in many different forms. I know you've been to a lot of drill where PTSD is discussed, where healthy relationships support the Yellow Ribbon programs, which are also part of this program, all tie in with the work that we are doing. We are not able at this point to say, because of these findings using our MEG, we want you to change treatment or change the way you cope. But we're hoping to be there soon.
Dr. Georgopoulos, I understand you've got another program coming up where you're going to start studying Women's Health Project?
Yes. Actually, you know, that one is going on now for 3 years, 3.5 years. And that program, we study how the brain ages in health. So these are women veterans. We have about 300 acquisitions up to now, and they range in age from 30 to 98 years old. They are healthy in every respect, and also we study them longitudinally, that is every year, and we're building up a database of brain function and how it changes during, you know, the lifespan under, you know, healthy circumstantial conditions. Ultimately, of course, we would like to know how we can predict potentially problems that may come up in brain function if we have all the prior information. It's a unique program. We study the lifestyle, habits, eating, nutrition. So we're very, very excited about this program.
Dr. Engdahl, we just got about 30 seconds left. Are you optimistic about our future ability to treat brain disorders?
Most definitely. In line with your general's mention of the Women of Character program and Dr. Georgopoulos's mention of the Healthy Women Aging Brain Study, we are very excited that we are starting a 3-year study that looks just at women who have served. We are hoping under Dr. Lisa James' leadership to recruit 200 women who have served to go through our studies. We really want to focus on similarities and differences to the men who have served.
And hopefully you can publish a little manual for husbands, and maybe we can understand the women's brain a little bit.
I wouldn't go that far, Tom, but yes, that's a fantasy.
Gentlemen, I want to thank you for joining us today on Minnesota Military Radio.
We thank you.
Thank you.
This is Dr. Georgopoulos and Dr. Engel from the VA's Brain Sciences Center. In a moment, we'll meet two new Beyond the Yellow Ribbon companies here in Minnesota. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Bill Popp of the Minnesota Military Family Foundation. An Army squad is made up of 8 soldiers, and when the squad is on patrol, each soldier is dependent on each other for safety. When a soldier is distracted because of a financial crisis with the family back home, that puts every soldier on the squad at risk. The Minnesota Military Family Foundation helps turn a bad situation into a positive one. The foundation provides financial support during a financial crisis at home. This helps re-energize the soldier. The soldier feels the financial burden lifted and has feelings of pride because of the support from the community at home. When the soldier is no longer focused on the financial crisis at home, the soldier is able to stay engaged in the mission and do his duty to protect other soldiers in the squad. When we help one soldier, we're helping all soldiers. When we help one military family, we're helping all military families. If you're in a position to help, please donate. Go to MinnesotaMilitaryFamilyFoundation.org.
Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. In a moment, we're going to meet one of our new Beyond the Yellow Ribbon companies here in Minnesota. But first, it's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now here's Commissioner Larry Shelliteau.
Drive home your support for Minnesota military members, veterans, and their families by purchasing a Support Our Troops license plate for your car or motorcycle. The Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, together with the Minnesota Department of Military Affairs, will use your annual minimum contribution of $30 for the betterment of military families and homeless and underserved veterans around the state. Visit your local Department of Motor Vehicles or call 651-4-TROOPS. Again, 651-4-TROOPS. Support Our Troops license plates are also available through dealerships.
Thank you, Commissioner Shelliteau. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Joining us now is our friend Annette Kuiper, the Director of Military Outreach from the Department of Military Affairs. Annette, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you, Tom. Glad to be here.
Annette, we've got a couple of guests today that are new Yellow Ribbon companies, but can you give us a little overview of Yellow Ribbon companies in Minnesota?
Yes, Tom, we have 35 Yellow Ribbon companies across Minnesota. Now, these are companies that have regional, national, or statewide influence that have made commitments to support our service members, veterans, and military families. And throughout this program, they make an action plan, create an action plan that is supported and approved by the state of Minnesota, meeting some minimum requirements on how they can outreach and identify military-connected employees, how they can outreach in their community, how they can help recruit, hire, and retain skilled veteran leaders throughout our state, and they have become good partners with the military in Minnesota.
And how many Yellow Ribbon companies do we have now, Annette?
We have 35 Yellow Ribbon companies, and today I've brought along a guest of our 35th Yellow Ribbon company, the Mall of America, who just recently have been approved as a Yellow Ribbon company, and we're proud to have them here today. Joining us today are Doug Reynolds, the Director of Security, and Dan Jasper, Vice President of Public Relations for the Mall of America.
Gentlemen, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you.
Doug, can you tell us a little bit, what was the process like that you had to go through to become our 35th Yellow Ribbon Company?
Sure. It started in February of 2013 when we sat down and said, hey, this is something we want to be part of. One of our employees used to work with Beyond the Yellow Ribbon brought it to our attention and said, you really need to take a look at this program. We looked at it, at first glance, it seemed like there was a lot to it, and there is. However, if you break it down into steps, which they do for you, it's very manageable, and it's a good process. 11 months later, there we were, making our proclamation.
Now, Doug, you're a veteran of the Army and the Minnesota Army National Guard. How did you feel about Mall of America getting involved in the Yellow Ribbon programs?
I felt like it was about darn time. That's how I felt. I was very proud, very proud. You know, when you stand there and you see faces, in my case, that were part of my 20 years with the Minnesota Army National Guard, around you, that folks like General Nash coming out to support it, it really means a lot. It does.
Now, the Mall of America, I'm sure, had done some things to support veterans and their families before, but this kind of formalized the effort on behalf of Mall of America, correct?
It absolutely did. And I think, you know, that's a good way to put it. There were a lot of individuals and even departments that were doing things before that, but now we became more unified as a company and said, hey, as a group, this is our commitment. This is what we are going to do.
And Dan, can you share with us what are some of the commitments Mall of America has made within your organization to support our military and their families?
Sure. We've made a number of commitments, and several of them are easy for other employers as well, which is, for instance, when we have job openings, we are sure that we interview all of the veterans. We want to make sure that they have an opportunity to interview for positions. We offer discounts. We have special family days. We're unique because we have an amusement park as part of our business, so we can offer discounts and free ride tickets to veterans and their families as well. So a lot of different things that we're able to do.
Doug, I understand you now have a Wall of Honor.
Actually, we're in the process of putting that together, the Wall of Honor. It'll be kind of exciting. Even as we gather people's stories and their photos to create the Wall of Honor for employees, just to, again, tell their story of what they did with their time in the military. I'm learning things about folks I didn't know that I'd been working with, folks from like our IT department. I was like, really? You served in the military? And just had no idea. It's fun listening to those stories.
Dan, have you had some interaction with other Yellow Ribbon organizations like some of the communities?
You know, we have. We're really quite involved with the Bloomington Beyond the Yellow Ribbon company as well. So we are involved with other communities, and that's part of what inspired us to move forward with the program.
Annette, when they're going through the process, do you bring them over to some of the communities and some of the other companies so that you can share best practices?
Yes. Twice a year, we bring the Yellow Ribbon companies together to share best practices, to update them on state and federal initiatives, and to really recognize their efforts for the great things that they've been doing and the great things. And they really learn from each other, all the best practices they have, and they can help make sure that their HR partners are looking at ways that they can recruit and hire veteran employees, looking at employee outreach efforts as well as community outreach efforts.
Doug, have you seen any benefits from becoming Yellow Ribbon Company yet? Has it helped you track how many veterans work out at the mall and some of those type of things?
Well, we're certainly new to the program, so I think we're going to see a lot more benefits down the road. But for me personally, one of the benefits is it's folks I can relate to and talk to as we hire more veterans. As we become more exposed to that, I really appreciate the idea of being able to, one of the programs we do is we take veterans' resumes and we'll look at them and say, here's how you make this make sense in the civilian world. And I really enjoy doing that and working with veterans and making them feel a little more comfortable as they make that transition.
So you translate military speak into civilian speak?
I try.
Well, after 20 years, I'm sure you're doing a good job now that you're heading up security out there.
Yeah, it's a... You know, and even as I look at these resumes, like I was saying, they have such great stories to tell, but they have to be able to tell it in a way that somebody understands it. So it's good to be part of that.
Dan, I understand that you've made some commitments as far as how you've incorporated veterans into your recruiting and hiring veterans employees. Does this go for just the mall, or does it spread to some of your retail tenants as well?
You know, it's starting with Mall of America, and that really is our commitment. We have that commitment to veterans. But our hope is to expand this program to include all of our tenants and our other people that do business in the mall. That's more than 520 stores and 50 restaurants. So just imagine if we could get all of them on board as well, and that is one of our goals.
The Mall of America would really be a veteran-friendly place to go, wouldn't it?
Absolutely.
That'd be great. Doug, I also understand that the Mall of America has received some ESGR awards.
We have. So every year we attend the ESGR banquet, the Employee Support of the Guard and Reserve. And whether we're getting an award or not, again, it's nice to go and show the support. We have had our employees put us in for some awards, and that always, you know, that's a nice touch. It really is when you get a chance to stand up and say, yes, we did that.
So, Dan, have you had support of top management at Mall of America all the way from the top to the bottom on this?
You know, we have, and that was the very key. We did that very first as we got the top management to buy into the program. They've supported it 100%, and that really made everyone enthusiastic throughout the company.
Well, you guys certainly look like you're excited about the program and happy that you're, that the Mall of America now is a Yellow Ribbon organization.
We are.
Absolutely.
Makes a better day for the director of security, doesn't it, Doug?
You know, it does. It just feels good at the end of the day. When you walk down the hall and you see that memorial wall being built, it feels good. It really does. It's just a neat thing to be part of.
Annette, we've got about 30 seconds left and we have to take a little break, and we're going to come back and meet another Yellow Ribbon company. But looks like you've infected the Mall of America with the Yellow Ribbon program.
Oh, and we are so grateful for their partnership and support at the Mall of America. They truly are a model for what an organization can do for their employees, for their community, and for partnership with the military in Minnesota. We are so grateful for their partnership, and we look forward to ongoing sharing their best practices with other companies.
Gentlemen, I want to thank you for joining us today on Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you.
Doug Reynolds, the Director of Security, and Dan Jasper, VP of Public Relations, to talk about the 35th Yellow Ribbon Company in Minnesota, Mall of America. In a moment, Annette and I will be back, and we'll meet another new Yellow Ribbon Company and see how they've progressed beyond what Mall of America has. This is Minnesota Military Radio. We'll be right back. Please stay with us. Hello, I'm Tom Lyons, founder and principal partner of Phalon Partners Limited, a Twin Cities mergers and acquisitions advisory firm where we help business owners to plan, prepare, and execute a strategy to complete the deal. When I'm not hosting Minnesota Military Radio on this station, I'm hard at work helping business owners with their exit strategies. If you're interested in selling a business, please give us a call at 763-231-4200 at Phalon Partners Limited. We've been bringing buyers and sellers together since 1985 and would welcome an opportunity to help you. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons, and in this segment and the last segment, we've been talking about Yellow Ribbon companies in Minnesota, and we have Annette Kuiper with us. Annette, who's next? Who did you bring with us? And it looks like it's going to be another exciting discussion.
Yes, thanks, Tom. Well, I brought another one of our Yellow Ribbon companies that has been doing some amazing things within our community and our state. And today, Allianz Life is represented here by Neil Mackay, who's a Senior Vice President and Chief Actuary, and Scott Whitman, who's the Director of Talent Acquisition, both who were very involved in getting to the Allianz Life to be a Yellow Ribbon company and have formed some great partnerships with other companies and within their community.
Gentlemen, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thanks for inviting us.
It's an honor.
I understand you were both involved in the process of becoming Yellow Ribbon, and you were proclaimed in August of 2013. Neil, was that a tough process, or was that something that kind of, did it formalize things you were already trying to do in Allianz Life?
Well, actually, when I found out about the Yellow Ribbon program, my first question was, why aren't we already one? I really, really want to support the military, and we've been doing a lot for the reserves and guards that have been deployed in Afghanistan and Iraq, and so Scott was a big part of taking what our grassroots efforts had already started and codifying it into our HR manuals and making it practice that we could live by going forward.
And Scott, in the last 6-7 months since you've been proclaimed, has the program evolved and grown? Have you made new commitments?
We absolutely have, and I think a lot of it has come through our employee resource group, which we've called Operation Serve. It's a group of employees, now about 130 people strong, that are devoted to helping service members and their families, both within our company and in the community. And they've really embraced the whole Yellow Ribbon vehicle and kind of have really taken the keys and the steering wheel from those of us who worked on the initial certification piece.
Neil, just for our listeners, how many employees does Allianz Life have in Minnesota?
About 1,800.
1,800. I would imagine some of those are members of the Guard or Reserve.
Yes. We actually found out after we started our Yellow Ribbon that we had way more veterans and military than we thought we had, and family of military. So it really was important to find out who they were so that we could work more together.
Yeah, if you don't mind me interjecting, I think, you know, as a human resources professional, I talk about inclusion and, you know, people feeling like they belong. And I think as the publicity that surrounded our Yellow Ribbon certification, I think it made people feel at ease, and they could be, you know, they could identify themselves as a veteran or a service member or somebody who has a family member who is in the service. And that's been very gratifying to see that.
So when they saw the commitment by the company to the Yellow Ribbon program, all of a sudden that's a signal to all the employees that this is a veterans-friendly place to work.
It becomes safe to engage. You're absolutely right.
We're speaking with Neil McKay and Scott Whitman from Allianz Life about their Yellow Ribbon Commitment or Proclamation in August of 2013 on Minnesota Military Radio. Neil, I would imagine since you identified the Guard and Reserve, the military within your organization, have you had any of those folks be deployed since you became proclaimed?
We've had one be deployed, or actually one come back. He was deployed prior to us being proclaimed. We've had multiple over the years. I actually had the first Guard and Reservist deployed back right after the Iraq War started. And that's where I got involved because we actually didn't know what to do. We had no policies on long-term deployment for the Guard and Reservists. And it really was a grassroots effort from our managers and the people that worked in the area around the young man who rallied and started all these good practices like sending a computer with when he went to Afghanistan or Iraq so that he could communicate with his new wife. He was actually a newlywed. They went and actually helped them, his newlywed with some of the work she had to have done. So a lot of what we did with sending packages over and everything was grassroots from the people around it. And then over through the Yellow Ribbons, we've taken all those practices and made them part of our company.
So now you've sorted through some policies on how to support your Allianz Life employees if they're deployed and their families while they're gone.
Yes, very much.
Great work, guys. Great work. Scott, I want to come back to you. As Allianz Life, have you had any interaction with the Yellow Ribbon communities?
Absolutely. Great question. Yeah, that's another one of the beautiful benefits of the Yellow Ribbon program. It does tie the companies into the community in which they reside. And we've had we've done a lot of work with the Quad Cities beyond the Yellow Ribbon community campaign. And the Quad Cities are Golden Valley, Crystal, New Hope, and Robbinsdale. And our company is located in Golden Valley, so we do have a natural connection there. But we are helping them with best practices and also in some cases, manpower with, to help the community help their residents. For example, we had a woman recently in the community of Crystal who needed some help cleaning out a garage that was stuffed with years and years and years of belongings. And the garage had become condemned and they needed to get it cleared out. And both she and her husband, who are both veterans, are disabled. And she contacted somebody at their city hall who got in touch with our company, knowing that we were a Yellow Ribbon company and looking to help service members in the community. And we sent a platoon of folks over to clean out the garage, and it was a really cool experience.
Neil, we've got about 30 seconds here, but has Allianz Life made any changes with regard to hiring veterans?
Yes, we actually very big issue for us, or incentive for us to hire the military. We've had very successful people that have come back from Iraq. One young man who came back after we had sent him packages just walked in the door, wanted to meet me because my name was on the package. Our CEO was in the lobby, said, "Hey, when you get out of the military, give us a call." One of our best employees, he's been there 3 years, he's been promoted, he's on a new job. So yeah, we have made a strong commitment in our recruiting to look for those veterans because of the skills and talents they bring with them.
Annette, I think you found another strong partner for the Yellow Ribbon program.
Absolutely. We are so grateful for Allianz Life for their partnership with the community, and with sharing their best practices with other companies.
Gentlemen, thanks for joining us today on Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you.
Thank you. It was a lot of fun.
That was Neil McKay and Scott Whitman from Allianz Life Insurance Company of North America. Joining me now is our Scott County Veteran Service Officer, Todd Kaminsky. Todd, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Good morning, Tom. Thanks for having me back.
Todd, I'm guessing that you're down there working hard on those claims.
We are. I got a stack on my desk right now. I'm going through some medical records, actually. It's a lot of fun.
Is there any improvement in the process?
No, actually, we're still seeing the delays. I believe our regional office is still playing catch-up for the rest of the country. So our Minnesota claims are still taking longer than they normally are. We are monitoring the situation. However, we've had insurances that if we have one where there's, let's say, an imminent threat of homelessness, something of that nature, that they would expedite the claim. So thanks to the American Legion, the VFW, DAV, Vietnam Veterans of America, all the groups that do the claims work at the National Service Officer level for making sure that happens for us.
So essentially, because we were processing the claims so quickly here in Minnesota, it was like us volunteering to help out the rest of the country that's doing it a little slower.
Right. In fact, I first heard the term on the TV show MASH. They screwed up in reverse.
In reverse. Okay. Todd, I heard that you had a CBOC coming to Shakopee. What the heck is that?
The CBOC is a community-based outpatient clinic that is overseen by the VA Medical Center in the area. Ours is going to be opening. The latest date I got was June 2nd, and it's going to be operated by the CBOC division from Humana Healthcare. And they have other CBOCs that they run in, throughout the area, and they do a fantastic job. So we're really looking forward to it. And what they're going to be able to do is handle 3,500 veterans with their primary care, podiatry, and mental health care. And then specialty care will still be done at the VA Medical Center in Minneapolis, but they'll be able to do some telemedicine work too, which has been very successful with the VA system.
So some of our veterans from south of the river will be able to stay down there and go to a clinic closer to home.
Absolutely, and there's plenty of parking. The building that they picked to put the clinic in used to be a former grocery store, so there's plenty of room in there. There's plenty of parking, and we're looking forward to them getting on board. We're really excited about it.
You work closely with the VFWs and American Legions as a county veteran service officer. Can you tell me how that works?
Sure. Just about every CVSO has a really solid working relationship with their local posts. And the reason we do that is that we often rely on the VFWs and the American Legions and the DAV posts in our area to act as our eyes and ears out in the community, let us know if they see someone that's slipping through the cracks, or to get people to come back to us. The biggest problem that we're starting to see, or at least the trend that I think we're starting to see, is that these posts are having to shut down due to financial reasons. Their memberships are down. Their bar business is down. And the bars are there mainly to provide an income so the post can stay afloat. And we're seeing a dip in that. We're seeing a dip in the charitable gambling that they're able to do. So we've got some huge problems. And it's very important for every CVSO, or at least for us, that these posts stay viable. And, you know, we get involved with things like county councils, where we have the commanders of all the posts come in quarterly or semi-annually to discuss some of these issues and how they can make the post viable. Most important thing is that if you're qualified to join one of these groups, join. Go to a meeting. You don't have to be at every one, but at least go to a meeting and volunteer to help out periodically, because they do. It does help to be there for, like, the steak fries and the burger nights and things of that nature, so that the post can raise money and still stay viable.
So your advice to our listeners that are veterans is to join your veteran service organizations and go get your discharge certificate and go visit your county veteran service officer.
Absolutely. First thing you do is come see us with that DD-214. We'll get you started. We take a holistic approach to make sure we try to get you to where you're up and running and ready to go in your civilian life.
Todd, thanks for joining us again today.
Thanks, Tom. I appreciate it.
It was Todd Kubinski, the Scott County Veteran Service Officer. We're just about out of time. Thanks for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, Dr. Engdahl and Dr. Georgopoulos from the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System, Dan Jasper and Doug Reynolds from Mall of America, Nick McKay and Scott Whitman from Allianz Life, Todd Kubinski, our Scott County Veteran Service Officer, Commissioner Larry Shelado from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General Rick Nash. Please join us next week as we talk about Veterans Day on the Hill and get an update from the Minnesota National Guard troops in Afghanistan. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
You've been listening to Minnesota Military Radio with Tom Lyons. Tom is the founder and owner of Phalon Partners Limited, a Twin Cities merger and acquisition firm. This has been a production of Clear Channel, MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com, the Minnesota National Guard, BeyondTheYellowRibbon.org, and the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Podcasts of the show are available at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.